Many of you, probably just like Dean and I, have tried to live your life answering those kind of questions. How do you make decisions? How do you know it's right? What is it you're following that's prompting? Are we to move? Are we to take another job? How do we make decisions in our life? And so our entire life has been following those kind of promptings. And that's what we find true in the story we're going to talk about today, because we're going to talk about the father of our faith. I mean, the very one who they call father, the faith, Abraham. We're in a series on called Running with Giants, and from a book by John Maxwell entitled that same thing, Running with Giants. And John asked the question, he says, now, do you think that people can see from heaven, see what's going on? And the indication that something there is true is in Hebrews chapter 12. It says this, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Now, where are these witnesses? They're the ones who already are the ones who in the 11th chapter had died and gone to heaven, the Hall of Famers. They're witnessing now our running, supposedly, around the track. He said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. So let us run with endurance the what? The race. So now we're running our race. They've already run theirs. And so now if we could call them back, these witnesses, and said, now you giants in the faith, let's spend a little time with you. What would you say to us? What would you encourage us with? What kind of words of wisdom would you give us? So last week we talked about David, what he would say. This week, let's talk about Abraham and what, in fact, he would say. Two things about Abraham you need to know before we invite him down. And that is that he is called the father of faith. I mean, it starts in chapter 12 of Genesis. So you only got 11 chapters. In those 11 chapters, you have Adam and Eve and you had the fall. And then a few chapters later, you had the flood. And then everybody's going to accept Noah's family. And now they start rebuilding back. And so now it hadn't been that long. And so now God starts calling another one out who's going to be the lead in this faith journey, that in fact, from his seed, Jesus will come. And so God's building his whole story. So he's called the father of our faith. The second thing is he's called a friend of God. A friend. You don't have that about anybody else in Scripture. He's called a friend. He really knew God. So let's invite him down now. Abraham, you lived. You won this race of your life, in your life. We are on the track now. Come talk to us for just a few moments. Tell us some things. What would you tell us? What would be the first thing you would tell us? All right, first thing Abraham would tell us is that we're to grow in faith just like he did. That every person has been given faith. That's what it says here in Romans chapter 12. Through the grace of God is given to me, this is Paul writing, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of themselves than they ought. Just turn to your neighbor right now and say, don't think more highly than y'all. Don't get puffed up. Just tell somebody, tell them, don't think highly. Don't think too high of yourself. Come on. My dad used to tell me, he said, you're getting too big for your pants. Now I think it was prophecy. Now, he goes on to say, so you have a sound judgment, and as God has allotted, read with me, to each of us a measure of what? Faith. So we're wired with the capacity to choose to believe. It's in every person. We're in the image of God. We're image bearers. God said he's made us in his image, and God has the capacity to believe. And he's given that, instilled that inside of each of our hearts. Well, now, when you talk about faith, Mike, it's exactly what you're talking about. I'm glad you asked. Hebrews chapter 11 says this. Here's what faith is. It's the substance of things, say it with me, hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. So two things. Faith is a substance, and faith is evidence. But you notice the realm he's talking about. The realm where it's not tangible, it's a hope realm. What are you hoping for today? What are you hoping? What do you hope will happen? It's a non-tangible realm. But when faith starts to be activated, now that adds to that hope substance. Now something starts to form that's substantive. And it is unseen. And so what are you hoping for you don't see? But when faith starts to happen inside of you and it moves from hope to faith, substance, the very thing you're hoping for starts to form and starts to happen. In your mind, in your heart, is faith. Well, Mike, how do you get more faith? Okay, let's look at Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by, say it with me, hearing. But what do you hear? And you hear the word. So when the word speaks to you, when you're reading or riding in your car, or like years ago when I was at Dean's mom and dad's house, in the hallway, when the phone rang, the Lord had spoken to me and said, now you're ready to do what I've called you to do. I had no idea what that was. Spent 13 years doing associate pastor work. I was happy, going to be that for the rest of my life. But he spoke and said, now you're ready to do what I've called you to do. What is that? I don't have a clue. I'm in Dean's house, mom and dad's house, and the phone rings and for me, and I start talking to a friend of mine here in Charleston. And I'll never forget when he said these words, and I said them out loud. He said, Mike, have you ever thought about starting a church in Charleston? Dean's at the other end of the hallway, so I said it out loud. Start a church in Charleston? And Dean goes, no. That was her first response to God right there. No. But you know, now in that word, now you're ready to do what I've called you to do. There was faith to plant a church. And now when that became clear, then we obeyed and we came. The whole process, that's my life like yours. You're trying to figure out how you do this thing of life. How do you live by faith? Without faith, you can't please God. But how do you live by faith? What's a life lived by faith look like? You want me to show you what it looks like? It looks like this. Take a look. Where are you going? I don't know. I just know he said. I remember when we moved from Conway to Marion, and I went to try out for the football team. And so you had a playing field here. And then you had a patch of woods here. Beyond the patch of woods, you had a practice field. So I remember walking through that patch of woods, and the team was out in there practicing. So I go up to the coach, told him I'm just moved here and I want to try out. And he said, okay, sure. So he said, start running. And so he had a track around the field. So I start running around the track. Well, he forgets about me. So I'm running around the field when I look and I see them go through the trees. And now I'm out there by myself. And so I just kept running. I don't know, it must have been 30 minutes or so went by. Back in those days, I could do that, you know. And so then the coach comes back through the trees. And so I'm running. So he walks up to me. He said, what are you doing? I said, I'm running. He said, why are you running? Practice is over. We're knocked off. We're going home. I said, you told me to run. You didn't tell me to stop. He said, what would you have done if I hadn't have come back? I said, I'd been running in the morning. Last thing you told me to do was run. I don't know how long. All I know is what you said. Now, that's a classic picture of Abraham right there. So faith comes by hearing the word. So when God speaks, inherent in that word and your capacity inside that God has built you with has the capacity to ignite faith. Enough faith for you to obey what he tells you. Faith is the substance. We hope for a church. How did it become substance? It became substance in faith first. In a spiritual world, in a world that you and I, we are spirit beings. And then came the obedience step, where we were driving to Charleston, started meeting with 6 people. And now what was in the spirit, substance of faith, of what we hoped for, the evidence that we would have a church deep down in here, started manifesting itself as we begin to be obedient and walk it out. That's what happened to Abraham. Abraham lived in a place called Ur. And it's over in the Iraq-Iran part of the world. Here's Babylon right here. He lived right here in Ur. And so the Bible says the Lord spoke to him and said this to him. Follow this with me. And now the Lord said to Abram, see, now the Lord, what? Does God still speak today, yes or no? Will he speak to you? Yes, he will. Not on your time, when he wants to, but he will speak. Get out of your country, he says, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I'm going to show you, and I'm going to make you a great nation. God says to him, I will bless you, and I'll make your name great, and you will be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in all the families of the earth you'll be blessed. So here's three things that the Word of God came to Abraham and told him that he latched onto. The promise of land, you have a promised land. We call it the promised land now, where we're going to Israel next year. It's just to this promised land. And then he said, I'm going to make you a great nation. And then he said, I'm going to give you the promise of being blessed. Now, those things that he spoke to Abraham, who is the father of our faith, by the way, I know they're to Abraham, but the Bible also says they're to Abraham's children. So could I say to you, God's got promises for you. There is a promised land for you. There is something next. Could I say to you that, in fact, God will bless you? Anybody here that's been blessed by God? Does he want to do it more? Yes or no? Sure does. See, we're the children of Abraham in that sense. So we enter this covenant. What was true about him becomes true about us in that sense of the word. And so now Abraham leaves Ur. And the Bible says that he departed as the Lord told him. And Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 when he departed from Haran. Now let's take a look real quick and I'll show you where he stopped off here. They left Ur. Over here is, you can see Bethel, Hebron, Shechem. Jerusalem is right here. Here goes the Dead Sea here, the Sea of Galilee here. So they're going to take this journey all the way over here where they stopped in Haran and stayed there. And you remember he told him, he says, I want you to get away from your family. You know what Abraham did? Took his family with him. How many of you have ever partially obeyed God? You got to start, but you didn't quite do it exactly. You want me to give that much time? How about this? You want me to apologize? Sorry. No, I am sorry. I own it. Sorry. Abraham, he did part of it. Now, this was so impressive, though. Don't you love for your parents to say, talk about your kids? I mean, how many of you know all kids don't have good days? Yeah. Mom and dad, though, when they say nice things about you, it's just, they just, love covers a multitude of sin, doesn't it? And so you find that true right here of Abraham. Because this act of him leaving now, Haran, now he leaves Haran, you just saw where it was, and he goes all the way down to, Haran is about 600 miles from Ur. So he gets 600 miles down the road. But then he goes the rest of the way, and he goes down into the promised land. And now you read Hebrews 11, and it says this about Abraham. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go to a place that he would receive his inheritance, he did what? Obeyed it, and he went through it, even though he did not know where. You remember this? This is faith. Where are you going? I don't know. That's Abraham. How many of you would like to have more clarity than you have right now about your life? How many of you like to have a few answers? I mean, like now. How many of you know that God is always slower than you are? And he's got his own time frame, and Abraham's learning that. All right, let's quickly. I want to run ahead. Now, this is chapter 12. Let's run to chapter 15. Sometime later, say it with me, sometime later. How many of you want to know more? It's coming. When? Say it one more time. It's coming. God's going to speak to you. He's going to give you more clarity. But when? This was years, by the way, for Abraham. And he spoke to Abraham in a vision and said, don't be afraid, Abram, for I'm going to protect you, and your reward's going to be great. And Abraham said, okay, Lord, look it. What's all the blessings if I don't have a son? If you don't give me children, then Eleazar, which is his kind of his head servant of Damascus, he is going to be the one that's going to inherit all my wealth. If you give me no descendants of my own, it says, then how is my servants? It says, they're going to be my heir. And the Lord said to him, no, your servants will not be an heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be an heir. Now, the Lord tries to get this across to him. And I think this is true of us too. There's times where we don't see, and God tries to get it plain to us. And so he takes him outside and says, Abraham, look up at the stars in the sky and count the stars if you can, because that's how many descendants you're going to have. And Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord counted it to him for righteousness. Now, Abraham's discouraged. He's discouraged because he had enough faith to come out and obey, but the time length now got so long until he began to get discouraged. God shows up to him again, speaks to him again in a vision, said, it's going to happen, Abraham. And he questioned him about the child, and he said, it is coming. Abraham, it's coming. You will have it, but not in your time, it's mine. Not in your time, it's mine. What is it that you have a timeline for? And it's not coming through. And it's not happening. How many of you are sitting here and you're thinking, I don't think it's never going to happen? No, it will. But in his time. God's time. All right, Abraham, talk to us now. Okay, we know, oh, by the way, Abraham's dad was an idol maker. They lived in a many gods culture where they sacrificed to many gods. And when God spoke to Abraham, he became a one God man. A one God man. So he's worshiping this one God. Come out, had enough faith to come out of his culture. How many of you came from a pretty rough background and culture? God saved you out of a mud hole. Anybody here got some stuff you're glad you're out of now that God brought you out of? He brought him out of all this place where he didn't know God at all. And now he's walking with God. But he hit this place and he didn't quite understand. God tried to get him to understand. So Abraham, talk to us. We know we got to grow in faith. We saw what you were doing. What else would you say? And he would say, just like me. There'll be some times that you won't get it. That you will have the promise. You will understand what God's saying. But because it's been so long, you'll get discouraged. But hang in there. Hang in there. Keep walking. Though the coach and the team have gone, keep going at it. What's the last thing God's told you? You stay right there. You camp on the very last thing God told you. The next thing will come. But you camp on the last thing. All right, Abraham, what else? Talk to me. I don't have much time. Talk to us. He would say, let it go. Don't take things into your own hands. Trust God. Trust God. How many of you know when you get to times of discouragement where things don't happen at your rate of speed, that you tend to want to get in there and make them happen? Anybody ever here tend to want to take charge? God, if you don't do it, then I'll help you do it. All right? I'm tired of your time frame. I'm going to step ahead and do it on my time frame. Abraham would say to us, learn from my life because I am in the hall of fame. I'm the father of faith. I'm the friend of God. But here's what I did when God didn't do it on my turn. They get down. I'll just tell you the story. They get down to the promised land, and they no longer get down until a famine comes. So when a famine comes, they go on. If you keep on going down on the map, you end up in Egypt. So they go down to Egypt. On the way down to Egypt, Abraham looks at Sarah and says, you know, you're a good-looking woman. And what's going to happen is we're going to get down there and they're going to see how good-looking you are. I know a lot of you guys feel the same way. You get down there and you're so good-looking to the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, wants to take you as his wife, and they'll kill me to take you. So let's say this. Let's say you're my sister. Then I'm the male that's in charge, but they won't kill me, but they'll deal with me to try to get you. and so that would save my life, and now I can negotiate. In other words, less lie. They get down to Egypt, and guess what happens? You guessed it. He sees her, and he says, of all the women in Egypt, I want her as my wife. Takes her, puts her in this process where you become the Pharaoh's wife. And so she's doing all the prompting and whatever they do, that stuff, to get her ready for it. In the meantime, a plague hits Pharaoh's house, and God reveals to him that she's married to Abraham. So now he goes back to Abraham and says, what have you done? You almost got me killed. And you almost messed up and had me marry your wife. What's wrong with you, Abraham? Father of faith. Abraham said, I was scared. You know what I think the kicker for the story is? Here's the kicker for the story. How old was Sarah when she walked into Pharaoh's court, and of all the women in Egypt, he wanted Sarah? How old was she? She was 65 years old. She must have been a hot 65. 65 year old, and the 20 to 30 to 40, all the women in Egypt, no, I want a 65 year old hot mama. Good night. How many of you like to know where she bought her makeup or whatever that stuff she ate? All right, clock's running. Now Sarah gets discouraged because it's not happening in time. Anybody here want something to happen that's not happening? Sarah says, you know that trip we took down to Egypt? Remember the little slave girl we brought back with us? Her name was Hagar. You know, legally, if I can't have an heir, you can sleep with her. In the culture of that day, then she can bear a son, and that son can become legally our heir. So would you go lie with her? And what did Abraham say? No, heck no. No, he didn't. He said, yeah. So he goes. They have a son from Hagar. His name is Ishmael. And the very conflict we're having in the Middle East right now is between descendants of Ishmael and descendants of Isaac. The trouble that we're having today happened because of that decision. Abraham, what would you say? That's what I say. Abraham said, that's why I'm telling you. Don't put your hands on this. Trust God. Don't do it yourself. Did Abraham get the lesson yet? No. Let's run the clock ahead. Now they go to another city, and the king now of that city is named Abimelech. They're going into the city, and guess what Abraham says to Sarah? No, you will not believe this. Guess what Abraham, father of faith, how many of you here feel weak in your faith sometime? Huh? Be encouraged. The father of the faith, you think he's got it now? No, going in now to the king Abimelech, and he says, hey, baby. He said, they're going to see you, and you're so hot, and they're going to want to take you from me. So let's tell them you're my half. You're my sister. We're not married. And you'll never guess what happens. Walks into Abimelech's court, and he spots Sarah and says, I want her. Oh, no. You are kidding me. Abraham did it again? Well, here's the kicker. You want to know the kicker? How old is Sarah now? You ready for this? Sarah is 89 years old. 89. And of all the women there, she's... That's the one I want right there. I mean, sets the whole thing up again. I mean, it just... same thing happens. God intervenes, saves his life. Now, just time out. You got time out for just a second? How many of you know things are passed down generationally often? And generational curses have to be broke, yes? I mean, how many of you got some stuff in your past generations that you don't want going down to your kids and down through your lineage. It has to be broken. And there's a way to break it. Did you know who else did the very same thing? When Isaac finally arrives, he does the very same thing to his wife. That's telling me, that lived a long time, didn't it? All right, let's go. Boy, Abraham, what else? What else? What else would you say? And Abraham would look you straight in the eye and say this. You need to get clarity on this. What you think is impossible is not impossible. There's nothing too hard for God. Would you say that with me? There is nothing too hard for God. Let me just tell you about this passage right here. In chapter 18. So it was in the Sodom and Gomorrah story. And so these what I think is probably Christophany, Christ showing up in the Old Testament, shows up. And as a part of him showing up, timing is everything, isn't it? They'll figure it out. But not before it gets worse. And says to them now, she is 89, Abraham is 99, and announces them, you can see it coming, it's been coming since 12, says to them, these guys say, by next year this time, y'all will have a son. They're past age to be able to have any. Abraham and Sarah, it's impossible. But impossible with God, does that matter? What is impossible with us is possible with God. So when they said that, Sarah laughed. And then they asked Abraham and said, what's going on with her? She laughed. And then what it says in verse 13, why did she laugh? Surely, said, shall I surely bear a child since I am old? And then verse 14, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Would you read that with me? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? No, there's not. At the appointed time, at his timing, it will happen and you'll have a son. Trust God, faith. What is it right now that seems so impossible to you? Just keep your eyes open, Father. I pray right now that we're the seed of Abraham and that what seems so impossible to so many people here at different junctures, would you move right now and speak to them? And would you resurrect hope, resurrect faith? We are Abraham's offspring and we're moving to our promised land and we're facing things that are impossible for us. But it's not impossible for you. So right now, in Jesus' name, I release miracles over this congregation. I release answers to prayer in your timing. But would you use this service to resurrect hope in Jesus' name? Amen. Would you just give the Lord a clap, just a celebration of that? Next thing Abraham would say, he said, I got to go, it's getting late. He would say, but listen to this, let me encourage you to this. Stay the course. Look at my life when God spoke to me. Look at my life when time went by and I didn't know where I was going and got discouraged. Stay the course. Keep your hands off of this stuff. Trust him. Look what it says about Abraham in Romans chapter 4. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body. Though he was already dead, because he was 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb, why did God wait so late? He had to wait until it was impossible for it to happen, because this child was a child of promise. This child came from God. He had to nail in the coffin that says, Abraham, you are the father of faith, and what every person will need to know is that they're not getting there in their strength. They're not living this faith life by their strength. They're living this faith life because I'm speaking to them and I'm putting faith inside them and it's igniting and I'm giving them vision and power to believe themselves. We are the children of Abraham. He did not waver. Here you go. He did not, say the word with me, did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith and given glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he has also performed. Everybody look at me. What has God promised you? What dreams inside of you that early on sometime you had, you dream and you knew it was God. You really felt like God had this for you. The power of the promise. He knew that what God had promised him, he was able to perform. What God has said, is he able to perform? Yes or no? Yes, he can. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. The last thing Abraham would say to us is this. Last word, Abraham, we'll let you go. I think he would look us square in the eyes and he would say, you need to keep your eyes on the target. You need to keep your eyes on the end. I love the scripture in Hebrews that said Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. In other words, Abraham looked toward the end, the future. Folks, we got a few years on this planet, but we're going to spend all eternity in heaven. We are just passing through here. Do you know the Bible says that we have citizenship in another place? We spend X amount of years here, but it says that we lay up treasures over there. And then once we die, just like Abraham did, we will go into that city whose builder and maker was God himself. The Bible says Abraham's whole entire life, he lived in a tent. In other words, it's almost symbolic of him saying, I'm just passing through this life. I'm just passing through. Keep the end in mind, friends. It's how you spend your money. It's how you spend your time. Abraham would say, keep in mind, this is not your permanent dwelling here. You're passing through. Lay up treasures over there. Live with an eternal perspective. Abraham, thank you. We need to keep being reminded of that. This is just the warm-up. But we all gonna live eternity in heaven. Last thing Abraham would say before he left is, you know, God gave me a test. And that test was he asked me to offer my only son. My son finally came when I was 100. Yeah, then some years later, the teenage boy, and God said, I want you to sacrifice him to me. And God never intended for him to do it, but never let him go through with it. It was a test. You know, the Bible says that Abraham never flinched, never asked the question, never balked in the least, because he was convinced that if he, in fact, offered him as a sacrifice, that God would raise him from the dead. That was already settled. So from the first point, when he struggled to leave Haran, he grew in faith to the point where now he's obeying God and he has a knife to the little boy's throat. God says, stop. You've passed the test. Now I know. That you love just most of anything on earth, you love me more. Now I know. And he would say, you will have tests. Pass the test. Have your faith to grow. Abraham, thank you. Good advice. And now I think we're going to run our race a little better. Sam, why don't you stand with me as I bless you. Close your eyes just for a moment, if you would. Just bow your eyes. Close your eyes and bow your head. Is there anything that the Lord wants to quicken you to reignite your faith and start believing again that a promise God gave you or something you need to latch on before you leave here? Is there something you need to take your hands off of that you need to re-engage, believe in God instead of trying to fix something? Is there anything he's saying, just release this to me? I told you I would take it. Is there any area where you need to say, okay, God, you said you would take care of me and protect me, and I don't have to concoct a plan for that to happen. I'm going to trust you with it. Whatever it is, Father, right now, we re-engage as men and women of Abraham's seed, Father of our faith, and we re-engage with faith now and choose to believe you, to believe you with our future, to believe you with the next place you have for us, to believe you with our children, to believe you with our jobs, to believe with all the decisions that are around this congregation that folks who are listening to me, they're in the middle of. Would you speak to them and speak clearly, Lord? And then would you give them the strength and courage to follow you, just like Abraham did? In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, bless you, Lord. Keep you, Lord. Cause his face to shine upon you. I bless you as you go. In Jesus' name, amen.